Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Launch Space. Today, we're talking about delivering static web apps in Azure DevOps. And Stephen Murawski is here with me. My name is Brian Benz. I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft, and Steve is a fellow cloud advocate. And I just want to mention before we get started that this is a live broadcast, and welcome to those of you who are on the Microsoft Developer YouTube channel. If you want to interact with our guest and myself during this show, please go to aka.ms/learnTV to access the chat, and we'll be monitoring your questions during the broadcast. So, Stephen, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me. It's my first time on the Launch Space. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, this is a new release we're talking about. It's pretty cool. It's very useful for people who might already have a full investment in Azure DevOps and have pipelines, and they want to use static web apps as well as part of their deployments. So this is pretty cool. Stephen, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft. You and I have been on the team for a long time now. Yes. I'm going on 4 years here, and I've mainly focused in the DevOps space. And my background is both on the op side and on the development side. So I kind of fit really nicely into this kind of DevOps world. And I came into this project from a focus of, I've used Azure DevOps a lot. I've used GitHub Actions. I've used a lot of different CI/CD systems. And Azure Static Web Apps really provides a nice onboarding experience. When it came out in preview, we had this great experience with GitHub Actions. Well, we've got a ton of customers that love their Azure DevOps. And so there's been a ton of feedback asking for, hey, when are you going to support Azure DevOps out of the box? Well, we're here to kind of show some of that and talk some of that, right? But I think maybe we should level set a little bit on what Azure Static Web Apps is.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. So we've had App Service, right? You're most people are familiar with App Service. Basically, you give us your code, stuff you'd run in Tomcat, or you'd run in IIS, or you'd run in fill in web server of choice, and we run it, and you don't care about the virtual machine. Well, we've had that was a little overkill for and a little bit over, quite a little too much configuration or so for a lot of the static site options that we have today. We see a lot of blog content, things like Hugo or Jekyll, where we're generating a bunch of HTML for a static site. And hey, great, that's all we need. We don't actually need a back end like .NET app pool running behind the scenes to do something, right? That just it's not a problem that we have in that space. We also see a lot of investment in things like Angular and React and Svelte and Vue and and now with some of the WebAssembly stuff in Blazor or Rust generated WebAssembly, right? We can do all of these cool things, even more so just directly in the browser. So we're sending the whole app in the browser and maybe call back to some APIs and things. Well, Azure Static Web Apps really exists to kind of fit nicely into that space and make it a nice, easy deployment experience, easy to wire up to CI/CD, as well as, support a bunch of the features that you want for that. Things like custom domains and SSL certificate, global CDNs to get your content close to where the people are who are using your application. There's a variety of things that we've built in to make it a very nice experience. Authentication, right? Do you want to authenticate with Active Directory or Azure Active Directory, Facebook, Google, GitHub, Twitter, right? Let's make that an easy experience to just wire up and make that part of the platform. So we got static web apps. And as I mentioned, right, we had this really nice experience. You go into the portal, you create your static web app, you wire it up with GitHub, and it would drop in all of the CI/CD functionality that you needed to make deploying your site a reality. Well, now we're getting to the point where we want to build and deploy from Azure DevOps? Maybe we're in an organization that has a large investment, like say Microsoft, right? We've got a pretty big investment in our Azure DevOps use. So I've spent a lot of time using Azure DevOps, and that's actually how I would deliver my blog. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to dig into how we could use Azure DevOps with this. And fortunately, the product team agreed, and they created a task in Azure DevOps that we can use to deploy into static web apps. And one of my colleagues, April Edwards, she crafted an article for our docs platform on how to do so. And we're going to walk through in just a little bit, pretty much a very similar workflow to what's in the tutorial there. And you can go to the show notes if you want to go check out that tutorial, as well as documentation around static web apps. Check that out in the show notes. We got the link right down below. So we're going to go through and set something up there. And in that process, we're going to kind of talk through what the task is doing, as well as, you know, to make this a really cool experience, a cool, joyful experience, as well as, you know, what maybe some of the differences in the experience are that you're going to see between GitHub and Azure DevOps. Yep. Sound like fun?
That sounds great so far. Yeah, I was going to say as well, I have my own blog published on Hugo. Mm-hmm. You can use Hugo, Jekyll, and a couple of others, that are Gatsby and ViewPress. Those are the actual platforms that we support right out of the box. There's actual templates for those, and there's actual documentation. In the link that Steve shared a little earlier in the show notes, you can go to that doc, and you'll also see links for all of those different platforms. So if you're using one of those, you can actually deploy it out to Azure Static Web Apps. And for now, anyway, actually using Azure Static Web Apps, if you have an account on Azure, is free. So it's kind of cool. And you can play around with it. So you can build things from scratch the way that Steven's going to show us today, but you can actually use one of those other platforms as well. And it's kind of nice. You can have, you can have your code local, you can test it, you can preview it, and then you can just deploy it using, traditionally GitHub Actions, but also now Azure DevOps too. So this is cool.
Yeah. And there's a whole ecosystem of tools and experiences that are kind of coming up around static web apps. Now, that's a little out of my ballpark, right? I'm a CI/CD guy, infrastructure as code person, right? Like JavaScript frameworks, not my cup of tea, but you know what? It takes all kinds to make a world. And
hey, I'll tell you what, if I used to build my apps on WordPress.
Yeah.
So you had to set up a full LAMP stack, right? And you had to have a backend MySQL, and you had to worry about it getting hacked and all this other stuff. So this is definitely, in my opinion, for a blog or something simple where you're not doing a lot of interaction, there's not a lot of dynamic needs for the actual website where you're just actually building something that people are going to read. It's pretty cool stuff having those frameworks. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It makes those simple use cases really easy, but it also simplifies some of the more complex use cases. Now, I'm not the one to talk about the complex use cases, but I can definitely show you how to rub some Azure DevOps on top of this process. So
yes,
let's dig into it, right? So I'm going to go to the Azure portal, and I have a pretty empty resource group here. I've got Key Vault. We'll come back to that later. We don't need it right away. And I'm going to add a resource. And we're going to get a static web app. And there we go. Now I'm just going to click my create. And it's going to ask me for some information. So I want it to go to my subscription, into my resource group. Let's give it a name. Let's do my plain old blog. And we'll put this in East US, or East US 2, because that's where it wants to go. And now it's going to ask me for deployment details. Now, if this was GitHub, it would have that nice little experience wired up. In this case, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to other. And it's going to tell us, hey, okay, great. After the app's created, go follow some other instructions. You don't have to worry about that. I'm going to show you what to do. All right, we're going to review and create. And create after it validated. And now it's going to go create the all of the resource, all the resources and things it needs behind the scenes to make all of this happen. That goes relatively quickly. Thank you. And we get a little bit of information in here about our static web app, including this nice little custom URL that comes up. Now you can get custom URLs, like your own URLs, and configure those as part. That's custom domains. That's a whole nother topic. We also get a lot of little bit of information about how the site is behaving. You know, site hits, data in, data out, just some rough information there. Now, the most important thing that we're going to need is the deployment token, because that's how the task in Azure DevOps is going to be able to tell Azure which site to deploy to and authenticate itself. So we're going to go to manage deployment token. It's going to give me this really nice long deployment token, copy it to my clipboard. I can close that up. And now we're going to go to Azure DevOps. So I have a project here. And as you can see, my naming skills, my plain old blog, static web app for being my project, you can tell I am a master of naming. And we need to create a pipeline. So I've already got my code here. I've got my code in Azure repos. I've got basically my blog content there. And it's all set up the way it should be for a normal Hugo site. And so I'm going to, we can just set up a build here. Let's go with the flow here. I want to go with a starter pipeline. And it shows me some example steps that I might want to run. I don't really need those, so I can get rid of that. But I do like this assistant because it helps me find the tasks and then helps me set up the syntax that I need for them. I can look for static web apps, and looky here, we got deploy static Azure static web app task here. So the app location is just going to be the root. App build command, we're not going to have to specify anything there. So this is the really cool thing. So you may be familiar with Azure App Service and how you can give it your pre-compiled application to run, or you can give it a container to run, or you can give it source code for a number of different languages. And if you give it source code, it has a build engine there that watches what comes in and then looks for certain cues. And based on those cues, it will go and compile the code, you know, resolve dependencies for you, all sorts of cool stuff. And that's the Oryx build engine. Well, Azure Static Web Apps uses that same build engine, but it brings it into your CI pipeline. So rather than waiting till you push it up to Azure App Service, you can get that feedback right in your CI pipeline. So the output location is going to be public, because that's where Hugo, when you run Hugo, will generate your site to. API location is going to be API because we don't really have an API for this, so it'll just be blank, and that's fine. And we can provide some additional metadata there, or additional command data there, which I don't need at the moment. So that helps me set up my task. Now, I did mention that we need to provide a deployment token, right? We need to pass in an environment variable to help with our release. So I'm going to go back over the tutorial because I never remember this thing offhand. And in the tutorial, we've got an example, and there we go. So I'm just going to grab this and go back to my new pipeline and drop that into my YAML. And this is an environment variable that the build container that static web app is using is going to look for. Now, I still need to create this deployment token. Now, I just made a little boo-boo because I went and copied this out of this when I also had my key remaining in my in my Azure DevOps environment here. So we need to go back and get that key again. So I'm going to grab that. That key we can put into a variable. So we're going to create a new variable, and we're going to make it a secret variable. And since I use the name deployment token, we'll stay with that. Value in there. We can make it overridable at runtime. And we can see examples of how we reference it. Well, that's how we're referencing it there. We'll save that. Now, if this was anything other than a Hugo app that has a theme, we would be all good. Since this is a Hugo app, and Hugo likes to use a pattern of submodules for their themes, we do have to add one more step. So I want to check out self submodules true to make sure that we get the submodules so we get my theme built. And that's it. This is the sum total of what you need to build an Azure Static Web App from Azure DevOps. So let's save that and get that to run. So what do you think, Brian?
Yeah, should work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks one thing I was going to say, we do have a question from Ayan Mullick. Actually, a couple. We have a statement and a question. So thank you, Ayan, for your contribution. The first one is, he was saying enabling GitHub pages on GitHub is still more seamless than doing half on Azure DevOps and half on a portal. Agreed. I can take this one. The situation is you have a lot of organizations and a lot of websites that have a need for some dynamic applications, and then they have some part of it that is also static. You need to be able to coordinate the deployment between the static and the dynamic parts of your website together. And to do that, it's great. You know, Azure DevOps is great for a pipeline. So if a lot of people might have already invested in Azure DevOps to build out their website, and they have to manage the static part of it separately, or they have to put a script into the, like a PowerShell script into the deployment that would actually run the static website deployment, something like that. So this is a way to interactively build the static portion of the website along with the other portion. And you can take it through the testing and make sure that everything works. You can do things like A/B testing and things like that. And just sort of, basically, it's just rolled into your regular Azure DevOps process. So that's the reason why it's cool to have this. Steven, do you have anything to add to that?
No, you're spot on, right? Like if you have in your organization a strong investment in Azure DevOps, like there are other ways to deliver static sites, especially like a Hugo site or a Jekyll site, right? GitHub Pages being one of the options. But if you have a strong investment in Azure DevOps and you need to add some static content, or you want to simplify some of your existing static content deployment and build, that's great. You know, for example, at Microsoft, we do a lot of component governance. And so if you want to ship something, it has to go through a specified process. Well, we've made that process, you know, we have it tried and true inside of Azure DevOps. A lot of other organizations have done the same. So in some organizations, while GitHub Pages or some other tool might be a couple of steps less to do, it might not necessarily satisfy all the organization's requirements, where this could be a nice, easy, happy path to getting your application deployed. Now, if we can actually pop back over into my the Azure DevOps screen here, we actually have a successful deployment. And I just kind of want to show, so it pulls down a container, and here's where it starts to run the Oryx build engine and detects, oh, hey, we're going to build with Hugo. And so it generates my site, copies it all out, and then it pulls until the site becomes available and gives you the URL right to that site. So I could click that right from within Azure DevOps, and it's going to take me to my blog. Now I'm using a different theme than my published blog actually has, so that I know that this is my that these are my demo environments, and that's something I really meant to keep around.
Right.
But yeah, and yes, there is a little bit of bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, there was one other question as well. Could the entire process be done from AZ DevOps in the future? Like one can be from the repo settings for GitHub Pages. So I'm guessing what he's asking there is, you know, can you actually create the target static web app and things like that through Azure DevOps? I know we could do that with other platforms, including, you know, regular Azure web apps. Is that on the roadmap, or are you aware?
So I know it's feedback that I have given the product team early on. I don't know if it's in scope. However, I've got a couple more things to show you. I got a few things left up my sleeve here that to make this experience a little less jumpy around. And if you hang on for just a little while, I'm going to show you how you can create the whole thing right from within Azure DevOps without having to go to the portal for anything. So he set me up for later.
And I had another one, which is there a PowerShell documentation for the document? So you're going to be covering that as well. I know that for sure. So I'll let you go with that, and we can circle around and answer that question later.
Perfect. All right. So one of the things, you know, that we mentioned people might want to use Azure DevOps for is maybe because we've got some compliance process, or that we have, you know, our security audits kind of melded in. And for me, when I start thinking about copying API keys around and sticking them in random variables here and there, it makes me a little bit nervous. Right. Sure. And I keep thinking of, so when I get audited, how am I going to show these things? Well, one nice thing that we have inside of Azure is Key Vault, right? So I could take that secret that we were getting from my plain old blog here, and I could take that deployment token and go back to, let's close that. Go back to my resource group and to this Key Vault that I created, almost like I knew I was going to go here. And I could create a secret. And so let's create a secret. We'll call it my deployment. Oh, alphanumeric characters. My deployment token. And there we go, and enabled, and create. Now you can get more funky with Key Vault and set some expiration dates and use it to help rotate secrets, and so it gets to be a very nice tool there. But once I have it in Key Vault, how does that help my build inside of Azure DevOps? Well, let's take a look. So again, if you have an investment in Azure DevOps and you're using Key Vault, this is going to fit really nicely into your process, because we can go in Azure DevOps, hop over to, in my pipelines group, into library, and create a variable group. Now, a variable group is an easy way to reference a number of variables that we can use across different pipelines. One of the bits of magic that we get is that we can link secrets from a Key Vault as variables. So let's call this thing blog secrets, because that's easy for me to remember and I am a master of naming. And then I'm going to link secrets from a Key Vault as variables. So I get to pick the subscription that I want to use. And then I'm going to pick one of my Key Vault sets there, and I need to authorize it. I need to tell Key Vault that Azure DevOps can, with this service principle, come and read secrets. And then I can pick secrets from that Key Vault. Now there's only one here, so we'll go with that. Once I've got this here, right? Any of the builds that I use inside of this project could take advantage of these secrets. Now, let's make our static web app build take advantage of that. So we want to edit our pipeline. Now, the editor here wants to be very helpful, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. So I want variables. And my variable group is going to look like so there we go. Always got to remember the syntax. Group, there we go. Now I want to be helpful. And our group is blog secrets. And now this deployment token is going to be the same as the Key Vault secret that I named. So let me see my deployment token. I'm getting old and my memory is not what it used to be. So that's why I always kind of have to poke back and check. And now I started talking again and that made me forget what I'm doing. I'll do the smart thing and copy paste it. There we go. So now we are going to use our secret from Key Vault to control the token that gets used to deploy our static web app. So another way we can bring our secrets into a more centralized place, get a little bit more enterprise feel in managing and dealing with that deployment. We could kick that off and let it run. We could get rid of that other variable if we really wanted to. But I don't know about you, Brian, but every time I show that Key Vault thing, it's usually something new that somebody, at least a couple people haven't seen before. So I always like to highlight that one because it's a great way to bring that Key Vault experience into Azure DevOps.
Yeah, it's an often ignored feature in Azure DevOps. And the nice thing about that, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have a group of people using this deployment, even if it's your secret in your subscription, once you've put it in the library, it can be used by others because it runs on the host.
Well, it's using the service principle so Azure DevOps uses this service principle to connect into Azure. Yeah. And so part of that process was because I had permissions to the Key Vault, I could whitelist that service principle to get secrets from it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And once that's done, then yes, anyone on my team could use that. And then I can go and rotate those secrets in Key Vault and my pipelines will just pick up those new secrets as they're available. Beautiful. Right. So that becomes I could have them because we can set expires and available on, we could have that rotation even automated. Right. So we don't even, have to get into any of the mix there. Now we did just talk about, based on one of the questions, like simplifying the process. And here, I think we just made it a little more complex. So,
but more secure.
Correct. What I kind of want to show here is really there are ways to help this process along and feel like it's more part of our enterprise compliance experience, right? And that we can put some controls around the secrets that we're using. Now, we can go another way and we can not put that secret anywhere, right? That's another option that we have. And I found, because I like to dig around in things, I found how we can actually get that API key or that deployment key from one of the APIs in Azure in our pipeline. So we'll take a look at that if that sounds interesting to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. One thing I want to add is, you mentioned it makes it more complex. It makes it more complex if you're the only person working on this.
Yeah.
But it actually kind of makes it simpler if there's a team working on this, right? Because otherwise you'd have to pass around. Okay. So you're using my credentials now. Maybe you, I don't know what you'd have to share. In some cases, you might have to share your you know, delegate a person on your subscription or something like that. But this is just a way of, okay, so the keys are already built in. Just don't change the YAML and you know, don't change that reference at least. You can go ahead and change anything else. But as long as that reference is still in there, this will run and it will be secure and it will use the secrets that we've set up for our site. Because obviously if you're using it on a production site, you don't want everyone to have access to the production site directly. So this just gives you a way of only the people who have access to this Azure DevOps project and have permissions to run on the hosted agents are going to be able to affect the website. So,
yeah, that was a really good point, Brian. You know, I do so many demos myself that you're right. It does. It can actually simplify the experience for a team working on a particular project.
Yeah.
So very cool.
Other All people right. have a spreadsheet with their keys in it and go, don't care this. Yeah. No one would ever do that. But yeah, just theoretically.
Yeah. Theoretically. Yeah. So at least the last handful of jobs I worked at, it was either like a LastPass password vault or a 1Password password vault, or going back several jobs, a KeePass password vault that was shared like on a file share or something.
Exactly.
But we've been managing ways around it. I've also seen it in the text file left in a file share somewhere. But so let's look at another way that we can do this with a little bit of crafty PowerShell and a little bit of exploring. So in Azure Static Web Apps, can I give folks kind of the little sneaky little hint here? Or all right, so here's the deal, folks, right? Azure DevOps or Azure is all API driven. If there's stuff that you see happening from the portal, it's almost guaranteed to be some API behind it. And so a little bit of creative splunking can help you automate what may seem unautomatable. And for me, I don't like things that are unautomatable. I like to automate things, and it's sort of the reason for my existence. And so, you know, when I get this managed deployment token and copy to clipboard and go here with the secret and go there with the secret, and I just, that does not make me happy. So what I like to do is I'll go into my browser's developer tools and, you know, watch. Let's go, where's network? There we go. And I like to watch what's actually happening in my browser here. Let's get now our managed deployment token. And if you dig in deep here, and I'm not going to show you exactly where, I'll leave that as an exercise to the reader, but or watcher, but buried in here, you can find the API call that's getting made to make things happen. So anyway, I will let that be. And thanks to a little digging there, I found the API that we can use to get that. Oh, there's our build that we just left off.
Yep.
With everything. Oh, something wasn't happy. What didn't it like? Oh, I probably fat fingered something somewhere in the in the API token. Oh, nope, wrong. I went to the wrong page. This is something we're going to talk about in just a little bit. So after we do this one, I'm going to talk about something that doesn't work. Right. So we got all these cool things that work. I'm going to show you a little something that doesn't work. So we did have a successful build here, like successful builds. That makes me happy. Now let's go edit again and add a little bit of help in here. Now, to make this a little easier, I've got I'm just going to copy some stuff in here and I will walk us through what's here. All right, so I'm changing out the variable group. I'm just going to use a couple of variables that I want to be able to pass into some PowerShell. And so I need the resource group and the site name so it can find the static web app to get the token from. And then I still have my Azure Static Web Apps deployment looking same as before. But I have this one other step here where I'm going to call this PowerShell script. And we'll go take a look in the repo of what that looks like. And it's a really simple PowerShell script. And
hey, could you zoom in on that a little bit?
You bet. Yeah, let me see if I can. Can I close this? Yes. And we'll make that a little bit bigger.
Thank you.
Better?
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks. Okay. So I've got a short little PowerShell script here that takes a resource group and a site name. And it's intended to run when the Azure PowerShell module is available and logged in. And so there's a task in Azure DevOps to run the Azure PowerShell, run PowerShell with the Azure module loaded. And in that module, there's this invoke AZ REST method. There's a similar AZ CLI command as well. I think it's AZ REST, if I recall correctly. So you could do this from AZ CLI. I'm a PowerShell guy, so I tend to go the PowerShell way with this. But you can call the REST API, and you're calling the list secrets method of the site that you're trying to get, and it will return the API key, which I can then set as a secret variable inside of my deployment,
which is cool because you're not storing it in your code, which I've seen before.
Right. So I'm not storing it in the code. I'm not storing it in a variable, and we can go to the static web app and reset that token as much as we want, and the next build's going to pick up whatever the current one is. So that and my variable is now just called token.
Right. And by the way, I should point out that not everyone can run this on. They have to have access to the Azure DevOps project that you're working on to actually be able to run this PowerShell script.
Yep, and the way the so they could modify you have to have some level of trust in people who can commit code into your repository. Yep. Now, this is only running CI on commits actually to a branch. And if somebody were to make a PR and in the way things are configured right now, this does not run on PRs. It could, that's not, there's always a little weirdness in PRs because there's some security challenges, especially if it's coming from a repo that's not, it's not a branch off the main repo, because that's where your security boundaries are, right? So repository security and things, that's a whole nother discussion.
So you could actually, for example, you could set this up with a separate build that only runs on test servers that accepts PRs, right? Yeah. So you could say, anytime a PR comes in, run not this YAML file, but run a different script that mm-hmm. would deploy this to a test server and then see if there's any problems with it. And then if everything's okay, you merge it into the main branch and commit, and then it would actually run a real deployment to production. So yeah.
Right. Yep. Yeah. You would almost never have like your main build be the thing that goes right out to production unless sure. it's something like, for example, my blog. Right. I'm not going to even my blog, I go to a staging site first, right? because I like being able to review things.
I don't know if you're the same as me, but Microsoft has very, very good security people, not people, but they have routines that watch your sites and your repos and everything to tell you if there's something vulnerable. And you're probably like me, you get in a lot of trouble because you're writing these demo things that you don't have a big infrastructure built, and you get all these flags and warnings and, oh, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you put this in production. And we're like, yeah, it's a demo.
Yep. That's why that Key Vault stuff really came in handy for me. Building these demo environments and trying to separate the secrets that I needed as part, because I build almost everything with infrastructure as code, and so I need somewhere to put those secrets. Right. So Key Vault can played in real well here. We're taking a step away from having to go retrieve that secret manually and bring it back over, and we're letting an automated process pull that thing over and put it into a secret variable in the build. So we'll kick that off. We'll let that guy run. And while that's running, we're going to go back to over to this thing that we'll hop back over to the releases, and I'm going to show you something that doesn't work. Now, this is a little bit of pain for me because I wanted to show you all this, and I couldn't because there's just a little bit of a headache, right? So we have this experience inside of Azure DevOps called classic releases, and a lot of folks use them. It helps you build a structured release pipeline. You can integrate testing, you can integrate quality gates, you can all sorts of stuff that you might want to do. Well, for us, and the tasks that you can use in releases and in build are pretty much the same thing. So I was really happy to see, hey, the static web app thing, it's here in a release. Now, what I'm going to show you, and Brian, let me see if you can spot what's missing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back over to my pipeline, and I'm going to just hit edit, and let's look at the task. All right. So we've got our API, we got our app location, our API location, our output location, and this environment variable. Those are the four things that we really care about with the task. Now let's go over back to our release, and let me know if you see anything that might look a little different. Like, even if we change this to that, and that. Notice anything that might be missing?
It looks like the token's missing. Yes.
Yes. Yes. There's no way for us to pass the token. And we could pass it as a variable where it would be a non-secret variable where it could become a environment variable. However, if we take a look at this, the environment variable it's looking for is all lowercase. And Azure DevOps, when it converts a variable into an environment variable, capitalizes all of them. And this is running in a Linux container, which is case sensitive. So, problem, right? So before you go out and say, hey, I'm gonna add this to all my release pipelines, you're gonna have a little bit of a hiccup there. Don't fear. If you the YAML experience, wonderful, right? It's just this classic release pipelines, which is which we have this little bit of a hiccup, and I've given that feedback to the product team, and I know there's been a couple of people who've kind of early adopters who've also given that feedback. So if it's something that's important to you and your environment, go share that feedback with the product team through their GitHub page. There's a feedback mechanism in Docs. And the product team, very responsive, loves to hear from you.
Cool.
All right. I know that makes you a little sad, Brian, because I know you're a fan of those release pipe, other classic releases and the gates and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about investments, a lot of people have a big investment, and the You showed a very simple example of one artifact and one stage of a release pipeline. A lot of people have 40 or 50 or more, and this incredibly, it's a beautiful little diagram that you see there, but it represents multiple threads of a deployment and things like, preventing deployment if something goes wrong or something like that. There's all kinds of things that are built into that release pipeline. And so people have huge investments in those. So I can't promise anything, but I can assure you it's on the roadmap to make sure that we have that release at par with the YAML releases as well.
Yeah. Yep. So it looks like I fat fingered a little something. That's okay. I can actually build off of a different branch for our next example, because we're going to build on this, right? We're going to take what we've done, and now, instead of, we're going to create a brand new static web app, one that does not exist yet. And what we're going to do is we're going to use let's get the pipeline going, and I'll show you, then I'll talk about what it is. Right. Sure. So we're going to create a new pipeline. We're going to create a new build with this pipeline. But we're going to build off of a different branch. I'm going to build off my template branch, and we're going to use an ARM template to create the static web app resource. The PowerShell script that we have there will then run and retrieve the secret so that we can build and deploy out to the site. So, fingers crossed, we should be good to go. So let's try running that.
For those who might not be familiar, so ARM templates are Azure Resource Manager is what ARM stands for. And ARM templates are JSON files, and they interact with our internal APIs to actually create resources and manage resources on Azure. So you've got the Azure CLI, which is a way to actually manipulate things through the command line interface. But you also have ARM templates, which is this sort of runtime engine, and then you control it through JSON files. And this is what the JSON looks like.
Yep. So we take a couple parameters. Optionally, it'll put it in the resource where the resource group lives, unless we specify otherwise. But this is the declaration that we need for the static site. So we give it, there's a type, we have to specify a name for the site. We specify an API version that we should use that has the definition for static websites, and we can pass in some properties. And so in this case, we're making sure we're using the free tier because I'm not made of money, and we can pass some outputs as well. And
if only we had some connections at Microsoft.
If only, right?
No, the free tier is perfectly fine to run a demo for sure. And actually a lot of different websites run free tier anyway. So it's one of the features, I think, of Azure, is being able to run these static websites for free. And that's, by the way, not a trial free, it's free. I'm not going to say in perpetuity, but it is free for now until Microsoft decides that they need to charge for it. But for now, it is all static web apps are free.
All right, let's make a quick tweak, because I tried to deploy to East US, which doesn't work. I have to go to East US 2. So let's fix that and we'll get that going. So let's.
Yeah, the folks at home probably won't have this issue. We have internally at Microsoft. We have certain resources we're allowed to use because, honestly, business is so good that a lot of our data centers are packed. And so internally, we're not allowed. We have to get special permission to run in some data centers, especially cloud advocates like ourselves who are running demos. So we're actually limited on what we could do. So I do run into this myself every now and then, but folks at home probably won't have this issue because you're customers. So. This is for the back of the house stuff.
Yeah, paying customers before us, right? Which is the way it should be, right? That's what I mean. So now we've got our build going out, and it's going to go and deploy. Now, I'm not using the I'm deploying the ARM template out of a PowerShell script, out of an Azure PowerShell, using Azure PowerShell, instead of the Azure DevOps task because of the behavior of the resource itself. Green check marks, I like that. Yeah. And there we got our deployment token, and let's see the static web app go. But so the reason I'm deploying via PowerShell script is so I can do a check to see if it exists already. Because if it already exists, ARM templates are designed, the experience is supposed to be idempotent, where we deploy the template, and if it if everything matches, it doesn't do anything. If things are out of order, it will bring them into compliance. However, some metadata gets pushed back into or gets added to the ARM representation once you deploy into the static web app, and that won't match what I have in my template. It'll look like it needs to recreate things, and so it'll throw an error. So I just check to see if it exists already. Because if the static website exists already, I'm going to get the deployment token, and I'm going to deploy something out to it. So functionally, it is what I expect it to be, for the most part. We could also write some checks to make sure that that the other resources are, or the other aspects of the resource are what we expect in that case too. From my purpose here, I just wanted to make sure that if it already exists, don't try to redeploy it again. So we get our deployment token, we save it as a variable, we deploy our static web app. Let's see if we actually got something. So we got our build, and we have our nice random URL. And the blog shows up. So we created, and this one went to a brand new, let me show you here. This went to a brand new site, which is called, let's look at, what did I call it here?
Andrew really likes your title, so.
We called this one template blog. So if I go look in my Azure portal, back in my resource group, I should have a new static web app template blog, which was not there before. So we got the whole static web app experience without having to go through the portal. So hopefully that solves that question that came up earlier.
Yes. Right? So. Yeah, I think that covers it. I mean, that was the question was, can you have an experience like GitHub where you can create resources from without having to do half in the portal and half in the DevOps? And yes, you can. If you use that, if you use the PowerShell, you can make that work as well. A couple other comments I wanted to add. Yeah. We did have one from Anthony Chu. Anthony, hello. Thank you for joining. Anthony is one of our engineers, and he wanted to mention that the difference between static web apps and GitHub pages is you can also automatically build most apps, not just Jekyll, of course. And the main differentiator for me anyway is you can also use serverless APIs. So you can use Azure Functions to build huge infrastructure needs in the back end with massive scale. Connect to all kinds of backend services, not just a static web app. So, of course, static web apps were designed so you didn't have to actually use backend stuff. But if you do need to, if you need to access something on Twitter and retrieve it into your static web app, you can do that using static web apps.
Yeah, I mean, it will. Because we can do so much more in the browser, our browsers are so much more powerful now, and we've built patterns for building more complex apps in browser, mm-hmm. and we've built this better experience for creating just APIs through things like Azure Functions. It really sets us up with a nice pattern for development, right? Like I remember I did a lot of development and deployment of like N-tier applications, right? You remember, you probably have some fond memories of those, Brian.
Oh yeah.
And this just changes the distribution of where the code runs a little bit, right? So we're front loading some of the processing into the web app, things that we might have put in a thick client before, right? And bring some of that back, and then have a cleaner interface of APIs rather than maybe some private private channels or you know, embedding something in some monolith that's running and having to post back for all these for all the different activities that you want to do. So it's just that we have a richer way to work with a fully browser-based application now, and then we might want it to call back to some API. So having that nice experience, I think is a really big win.
Yeah. Hey, we've got about 5 minutes left. If anyone wants to ask any questions or interact with us at all, go to aka.ms/learnTV. We have a chat set up. I'm looking to the right all the time. I'm actually watching for questions over here. So I have it on another screen. That's why I'm doing that. But we do have a couple of comments. I hope we answered your question about PowerShell documentation. Chad Fargesworth, thank you for pointing out that Abel Wang does have a dev blog post about using Azure DevOps to deploy to an Azure static web app. And that's using, I believe, PowerShell for that. The other one is somebody was mentioning we would Levy was mentioning we would prefer YAML with ARM. And out of scope for this discussion, sorry.
Yep. So the Abel Wang post that he's referencing is actually a creating a static web apps like experience.
Yeah.
But it uses App Service.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's using it. So he created like the experience that you get with GitHub and static web apps, but using App Service for it. So very, very similar experience, but it was just sort of like, hey, here's how I would do that today. Now we're actually bringing the actual static web app experience into Azure DevOps.
Yeah, we've formalized the process now as part of our application. Fabio Posada was asking, how do we inject environment variables into a React app for build step for static web apps? I'm assuming it means an ADO, and I'm guessing it would be the variables, just the way we showed it earlier.
Yeah, so you can specify build commands that would go in. By default, it will try to create a build definition for you, and then based on your build, it can take environment variables from what's available on your build server. For example, let's go back to our pipeline definition here. And so we can map in. So there's a number of automatic variables that are present on the build agent, but you can map in whatever you would like custom into that task as well. And then your build, whatever build command that you are going to provide, would have to know to pick that thing up and go. So Oryx will try its best to infer the right build process, but you can specify what you want.
Cool. Yeah. So a couple of minutes left, a couple other questions here. Is there any documentation about best practices for approvals and other manual checks when using a YAML pipeline and a totally scripted pipeline generation? That would be if it's in the Azure DevOps documentation. And I'll add that to the show page. I can do that at ms/, what is it today? The Launch Space ADOSWA. There it is.
There it is.
I will. In fact, we'll be posted in the chat as well. I'll put that up in the. It's probably a totally separate topic that's going to take us a little longer to discuss. But I'm posting in the chat right now, and then you'll see it there as well. But you can check that out. They're not there yet. The links aren't there yet, but I'll add them right after the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, and also the. Let's see. Fabio Pizzotto is asking, how is the management of tenants for AD and SWA? So in static web apps, I can tell you it's integrated. So AD is integrated with static web apps the same way it's integrated with anything inside your Azure subscription. So you manage things the same as you do with any other Azure tenant that's on your subscription. Or not tenant, but any Azure resources.
Yep. Yeah. The only thing that's different is the deployment key, right? And that's accessible if you have the right rights to the to the thing. So, but cool. I think we are bumping up on time here, Brian. Yep. It's been a blast.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thanks again. Anyone who needs show notes or more information, please do check out the Launch Space, ADOSWA. Thanks, Stephen. This was great. A lot of information, and it was a lot of fun. Someone wanted to mention that your son has a lot of stickers, impressive collection, so you might want to pass that on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.